stand by.
This is the weekend of April 2nd, 2005, and you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat. I'm Jeff.
Hi, I'm Pat.
And this is issue number 7, and lucky 7.
I can't believe we've done that many.
I can't believe we've done this many, but you know, it just seems like yesterday we did issue number 6.
Well, Just last week we did issue number 6.
I know, but this week has just gone so fast.
You know, I had lunch with Bliss. Yeah.
Oh,
Friday.
Very good. Does she listen to the show?
No, she doesn't.
Well,
I talked to her about...
I hate Bliss.
You do not.
Just kidding.
You do not. I talked to her about the show, and I mentioned, because she asked me, what are you doing? And I said, well, you know, blah, 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 I'm doing this show with Jeff. She said, oh, you started doing it. And I said, yeah, how did you know about it? We had talked about it, remember, at Susan's going away party.
Did we?
Yes.
I don't remember that, actually. That was before we ever did one?
That was before we ever did one. She remembered hearing that. Wait a second. She wasn't there, was she?
Bliss was there. Bliss and Doug were there.
Because I remember talking to Doug.
Yeah.
Doug is always... Doug, I love to talk to Doug, too. He's so funny.
They're both good people.
And...
Well, if they don't listen to our show, they're not good people. I take that back.
Oh, well, I sent Bliss the link.
Okay,
so
good.
So she's going to listen to it.
Good.
But she was funny because she had the same sort of thoughts about voting for the podcast that somehow or another... She could only, it was a democratic process, and she could only vote for it if she listened to it, and she had to, like, prefer it over all other podcasts.
That's a lot of burden.
That is a lot of burden.
Then you got to listen to all the other top contenders.
So I told her, listen to them all, and then vote for our podcast.
Yeah.
If you think it's worthy. I'm afraid she's going to say to me, don't you have anything better to do than make a stupid podcast?
Well, you know, sadly, we should have something better to do, but I don't, Pat, I don't know about you, but I don't have anything better to do.
I don't either.
Okay.
And I even have my income taxes to do.
Well,
and I'm going to get money back, and I still don't want to do them.
I got, you know, I thought I'd get more money back, because every year
you
I get...
You did it already?
I did it last week. I really...
when?
I was the ball. I actually did it during the week. Yeah,
wow,
I was the ball.
I'm so impressed. You were the
it's
what?
Not, I was the ball, you know.
I was the ball? What the hell does that mean?
That is from, Glenn and I always used to do that, from Caddyshack. Be the ball. Be the ball. I just say it regular. So like, yeah, I'm the ball. You the ball? Yeah, I'm the ball. Stupid.
You're on the ball.
And now I say it like everybody should understand what that reference is automatically.
All right.
Are you
then.
The ball?
You're scaring me. Okay, so you were the ball.
I was the tax ball. I didn't get as much money back as I thought.
Why?
I don't know. The numbers were just really screwy this year because I got a bunch of severance from last year, and apparently they didn't tax as much of that severance that they would have. I changed my mortgage this year, so I have a faster mortgage now, so I think I had overall a little bit less mortgage interest. So it all kind of just kind of screwed up. I still got money back, so that's good.
Why did you change your mortgage?
I refinanced. Just a better deal.
Oh.
Got a better interest rate, and for, I think I went from like the 30-year loan to like a 15-year loan.
The credit union?
Yeah, credit union. Huh. With paying just a tiny bit more per month because of the lowered interest rate. So it's kind of a no-brainer.
All right,
it was
well,
a good
we'll
deal.
We'll have to talk about that afterwards. This is way too boring for the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. This is not good podcasting material. But, you know, hey, as long as you mentioned podcast, Al, I have to say this is the 1st of April. So we need all of you out there, new listeners, old listeners, to kind of go back and re-vote for us. It's such a dorky system. And I hate to ask, but you need to do that. Yesterday was April 1st, and the first day of the new voting. And what was that podcast, Keith and the Girl? They must have had some sort of email scam going on, but they got like 100 votes on day one.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. I went and listened to their podcast, Pat. I was telling you a little bit about this beforehand, and it's I don't want to say it's awful because it's going to appeal to certain people, but it's just like an hour every day of rant and a lot of F you, F this. It was awful. I mean, quality wasn't awful. It just didn't appeal to me. They weren't very likable people, you know?
Well, I think when we first started doing this, so this might have, well, not when we first started doing this, but maybe about 3 weeks ago, I was looking at the various podcasts, and I decided to listen to them because their little tagline is brief, and it's basically Keith and his girlfriend talk shit.
Oh, you did hear them?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I thought it would be funny, and I did listen to them, and I, you know, I guess I felt the same thing you did. That it was just, I'm not a very prudish person or anything.
No, like no,
it was
me
just
neither.
A little bit too vulgar for my tastes.
Well, we were talking a little bit about this before the show, but there's something about listening to a podcast that I like that is, I don't know, I kind of like to like the people doing the podcast, you know, and I didn't like them.
Well, you know what I think would probably help their podcast? If they had a lot of sound effects over there, like maybe some Daffy Duck or things like that.
You know, there's nothing that says good podcasting like sound effects.
You bet your sweet bippy.
Pat's alluding to, we got some feedback on the line. I think two or three people said, oh, we love the podcast, but we hate the sound effects. And I started talking to a lot of the people around us here, and we all seem to like the sound effects. So that's a little bit of a personal thing, I guess.
But inside joke.
the other funny comment that we got was, I think two or three people said, you know, you guys really shouldn't be rapping.
And, oh, well.
And I thought that was just so funny. I didn't know how to react to it because, like, you know, we're two somewhat squarish white people as far as the rap world is concerned. We really don't listen to rap and don't know much about rap, and we did a rap to be a joke. And I think some people are saying, well, you guys really shouldn't, you know, be rappers.
Well, and, you know, I am a terrible singer anyway.
Well, and rapping isn't even singing.
Decent.
Well, at least I could keep in rhythm, and that's only because I, you know, sang for 3 years. But I don't know anything about rap. So now, you know, if they really wanted to criticize their rap song, they could have said, you know, that bit wasn't all that funny. And that's a fair criticism. But to say, you guys really shouldn't be rapping, I just found it very funny.
Yeah, we know we shouldn't be rapping.
We know. That's the point.
There's a lot of things I shouldn't be doing.
That you do. We're the least people that should be rapping.
Actually, something that I shouldn't be doing that I really want to do.
Is podcasting?
No. Is eat ice cream in the morning.
Really? Have you ever done that?
Yes, I've done that once or twice, and I think about my mom as I'm doing it because I know it would appall her.
I've never podcasted in the morning. I've never ate ice cream in the morning.
Well, you know,
but I love ice cream.
I bought some Cherry Garcia, and I brought it last week.
I ate it. I was wondering where that came from.
Jeff, you ate it? That was my ice cream.
Ice cream doesn't last here long. I owe you a Cherry Garcia, but ice cream ain't going to last in this refrigerator, baby. I'm sorry.
I didn't think you were that much of an ice cream lover.
I love ice cream, and if there's Temptations around the house, I'll eat it. I won't necessarily go out and get it all the time, but if there's Temptations in the house, I will eat it.
I should have put something on there. This is Pat.
Don't touch it. Yeah, I really didn't. I was trying to figure out where it came from, and I called Amy. Did you bring me ice cream? Because sometimes she'll leave me little treats, and, you know. It's like, well, Pat wouldn't have brought ice cream. Why would Pat have brought ice cream over? So I really didn't think it was you, but it's like, well, that my housekeeper didn't bring ice cream, I didn't think. It was the mystery is solved this morning. So were you coming over here expecting some ice cream?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
You suck.
It was damn good,
I'm
too.
I'm unfriending you. Did you eat it all at once?
I hate to admit it, but I think it was dinner one night.
You're such a pig. Well, I have moved on to another obsession / fetish this past week.
Oh, boy. You always have a new one every week.
I don't know.
Not always.
Clearly, I don't have enough in my life, but it's Snickers. Well, I don't know if I...
Snickers bars or Snickers ice cream?
Snickers. Well, I love Snickers candy bars, mm-hmm, but... Mm-hmm. As I was in the 7-Eleven, I saw that they had some ice cream Snickers in it. And I've had those bars. You know how Snickers will make an ice cream bar that's in the shape of a Snickers candy bar?
Yeah.
Well, they also now make a cone, so like a drumette. I had one of those.
Oh, I bet that was good.
And then I had some of the Snickers. I think it was made by Breyers.
Huh.
Vanilla ice cream with Snickers in it.
Like Snickers chunks?
Yes.
That would be good.
Yes.
Yeah, Snickers are good.
And then last night, Susan and I went to Baskin Robbins to see if they had some ice cream with Snickers, and they didn't, so we didn't get anything.
Wow, you're really in the Snickers frenzy. You know what I love at Baskin Robbins is the raspberry, that's not the sherbet, it's sorbet, raspberry sorbet.
I'm not into sorbet.
Yeah, man, I love the sorbet. I love the fruity flavors.
There's not enough fat in sorbet for me.
All right, well, yesterday we just celebrated April Fool's Day, and I have to admit, I was fooled. I don't know, were there any pranks that you fell victim of?
Well, not really, except somebody that I work with, I called her up. She has something to deliver to me and my team and has consistently missed every delivery. And when I talked to her yesterday, she said, did you get the documents? We sent them all. And I was like, you did? I didn't get them, no. And she said, April Fool. I'm like, that's not funny. That's the only thing that happened to
okay.
me.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you read Front Burner yesterday.
No.
You know, that it was interesting. They did a really good job. The bloggers were from D Magazine, which is a local magazine around here. And they said, oh, there's a lot of meetings going on. People are talking. One guy looks really happy, the manager of it all. Something's brewing. And then about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they said, well, they just made an announcement around here. The Dallas Morning News, which is a local newspaper, just bought us out. And a lot of people are really mad and angry and a lot of stuff going on. And I think I was chatting with Susan at the time, and I think I said, well, I can't believe Bello just bought Front Burner, D Magazine. And I didn't even suspect, because they did such a good job of blogging the whole thing. And at the end of the day, it's like, oh... They fessed up and I felt like an idiot. So I thought that was a pretty good prank. But I went on the internet and kind of looked at some of the origins of April Fool's Day because I was curious, where the heck does this come from? And like most holidays, like, Christmas and so forth, it's this mixed bag of different pagan rituals associated with the beginning of spring. And some Christian things all kind of boiled down to what we have today. But I thought I would share with you some of the more interesting information about it. One of the medieval roots is sort of a continuation of Saturnalia, which is what they celebrated in December, which ended up being Christmas. But I thought this was funny. You'll appreciate this. And I'm just going to read right from this. On this day, mostly observed in France, celebrants elected a mock pope and parodied church rituals. The church, of course, did its best to discourage this holiday, but it lingered on until the 16th century. And it ended up migrating into Mardi Gras and Carnival. But it was a whole day set aside to basically make fun of religion, which is pretty amazing. There's
just one day to do that?
I know. There's another route. And what they're saying is how a lot of the Christian people through some of the Middle Ages and so forth would take existing celebrations and try to make them Christian. I think that's what happened ultimately with Christmas. In this case, they tried to find origins in the biblical traditions. And in one such version, the day's origin is attributed to Noah's mistake of sending a dove out of the ark before the flood's water had subsided. And a second story tells that the day commemorates the time when Jesus was sent from Pilate to Herod and back again.
My God.
The phrase sending a man from Pilate to Herod was often pointed as a proof of this origin theory. So it's sort of like it's a fool's errand, if you will.
I've never heard of that.
I know. I never heard of that one either. But obviously, I don't think that one stuck. A couple others were basically associated with, the rites of spring. Everybody's kind of jolly and fresh of new energy and like to prank fools. Play pranks. In France, they said, in fact, they still call this today, some of the French, when they're playing fools, they will say Poisson d'Avril. I don't know if I said the French right, which means April fish.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they said that started is because in France and probably most countries, the fish are young and they're really easy to fool or to catch.
Oh,
and so that sort of originated from there. The most popular theory about the origins.
We'll make our own sound effects instead of adding our bad sound effects.
Yeah, we'll make them really bad. The most popular is the fact that apparently the calendar was changed in the Middle Ages, in the 1500s. All throughout the 1700s, New Year's used to be around April 1st. And they changed it to January 1st, sort of making it international standard. But they did this one country at a time, apparently. And France did it in like the 1500s. And so what they would do after they changed it, because we didn't have the web back then and all the fast communication. So some people didn't.
Amazing.
So some people didn't get the story. So to make fun of them, their friends and neighbors would go over to their house acting like it's New Year's. And then say, it's not New Year's. Ha-ha, you're a fool.
I see.
And in fact, what's interesting, Pat, is the British, for example, didn't change their New Year's to January 1st until like the 18th century.
Oh.
Who knew? Yeah.
You know what else we have coming up?
What do we have coming up?
Daylight savings time.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, I love daylight savings time.
I have mixed emotions about it. I hate losing the hour on the weekend. you know. But I love the fact, obviously, the lingering benefit of it is that you get more daylight.
Yes, I love it. Now, you know, because I have a background in the airline industry, I learned a lot about time zones and, well, not about time zones, but daylight savings time, because those days when flights, when the schedule changes on daylight savings time and when you go off daylight savings time,
right,
are always a big problem.
Right.
And the thing, I guess I thought that everybody went on daylight savings time at the same time.
It's unbelievably complicated, isn't it?
Yes. For example, I think Europe goes on daylight saving time about a month earlier,
yeah,
and gets off a month earlier.
Yeah.
And not every country moves forward an hour. Sometimes they do it at different times.
Yeah, yeah.
They might, and I think even in Arizona, there are some cities,
yeah,
that
I think
don't observe, you know, part of Arizona observes daylight saving times and the other part doesn't.
That's true. Indianapolis, actually, and the city of Indianapolis also is different than the rest of Indiana.
Really?
Yeah, it's strange. You know, you'd think they would make a international standard of that. So when you do, I mean, any of us really these days are involved in international business. And in order to set up meetings, you almost invariably have to go to an internet source to find out what is the exact time. Because if you think you know it, you may be wrong.
That's true.
You know? Yeah.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
Well, you know, when I was over at Susan's house last night, we went out to one of our favorite places to
Taco Diner.
Taco Diner. It had the same old thing. Man, there were a lot of kids in that restaurant. I was about
I don't know why you keep going. This is funny because Taco Diner, there's a hip Taco Diner in the West Village, and then this Taco Diner that you guys go to because it's close to Susan's. This is in the Park Cities. And it's a little bit quicker to get into and everything. But every time we go, or you guys go, you always complain about the kids. Too many kids in here. But yet you keep going.
we sat next to this table with this, you know, very nice appearing man with these two kind of adorable boys,
mm-hmm,
that looked kind of the same in age. But they knocked over their drinks twice and,
oh,
you know, went on the floor and onto my foot both times. I mean, I was polite about it because that's how I was raised. But at the same time, I remember thinking, well, you know, it's not right that I have to get rained on my foot by little children dropping their milk. And, you know, it would be great if it was margarita and then I could just, like, lick it off. But
yeah,
no, it was milk.
Oh, who wants milk?
Milk.
Bah.
I did try to tell the little boy to lick it off, but, you know, I don't think he heard me, maybe. He certainly didn't lick it off.
I think that would have been funny. Funny visual.
Anyway.
Well, we had promised last week, Pat, that we were going to do a little bit of New Yorker magazine or cartoon review. I'm not quite sure what you had brewing there.
Well, I'd have to say this isn't an original idea, reviewing a magazine. I think there is a very famous podcast that I won't mention the name, and they review a magazine.
Oh, really?
But they review Fox magazine, which I think is pornography.
Huh.
And as you know, I'm very anti-pornography. Can you hold this for me, please?
You bet.
And so instead, what we're going to do is look at the March 21st New Yorker issue. I'm just going to go through it real quickly, though.
Okay.
I think this person spent like 7 or 9 minutes talking about Fox magazine.
We will try to beat them at their own game by getting through this in 4 or 5 minutes.
Anyway.
And the watch is starting now.
Well, I don't know whether you know this or not, but there are some very, you know, famous people who write for the New Yorker magazine. One of them is Steve Martin.
Really?
Which surprised me, yes. Now,
by the way, did you hear the jet just going over?
Yes, I did.
That was cool.
But I didn't pay any attention to it.
That was cool.
Now, my sister doesn't think his pieces are funny. I like them. And, of course, then we have the very famous, some of the famous guys like David Sedaris, who's also does pieces on This American Life. He'll write for The New Yorker, too.
Right.
But the first thing I do when I go to The New Yorker is I look, you know, at the table of contents to see what's interesting. And I almost always read the goings-on about town. But I'm not going to talk about that. But this issue seems kind of, you know, I'm like looking at what's going on. I don't find anything that's too exciting. Although there is something that it's bylined, Jesus in the Classroom, a teacher's lawsuit sets off a national debate. I want to read that one, but I don't know what they're referring
right
to. Do you?
No, but every time there's one of these debates, the Christian rights rally around it and make it a big issue, usually a bigger issue than it should be.
Well, but I mean, this would be very temporal. I mean, this article I'm anticipating.
Right, it'd be very much something happened like last week.
I don't even know what's happening.
Yeah, haven't.
Then the other thing is I regret to say that I almost never look at the pop music. They do have they have histories
on
that.
That's the best part.
I don't look at that. I also don't look at the theater. Don't really care about it. I always look at the current cinema. And now they're talking about Melinda and Melinda, which is a movie by, what's his name?
I've heard of it.
Woody Allen.
Is it Woody Allen's new movie? Okay.
Do you know anything about it?
I haven't heard anything about it, actually.
Yeah.
I've heard a reference that he had a new thing coming out, and I love Woody Allen. Woody Allen, you find people are either fans of his or they're just not. And, I'm in the plus column.
Well, The New Yorker always has about 20 cartoons in it.
Right.
And
they're famous for their cartoons.
They're famous for their cartoons. It's quite a process.
And sometimes they're hard to figure out.
Yes, they are. It's quite a process. I mean, you're big if you get into The New Yorker. But I don't know if they get like over 100 submissions every week.
They really?
Have a very long process that they go through. I saw it. They described it on the CBS Morning Show one time, and I was like, wow.
Wow.
Getting picked is really hard. I don't know that they get that much money. I mean, I don't know if it's like $750 to $1,000, but then they get other money for it.
So basically anybody can send in a cartoon idea? Like you and I could
yes,
you know, draw out a cartoon and send it in and potentially get chosen if it was any good?
Right.
Wow, I didn't know that. I figured they had staff cartoonists.
No, but I don't think that ours would make cut number,
I would have no idea what even to cartoon about. I can't draw.
Anyway, this cartoon I really like. It's two women walking, and one woman says to the other, I'm doing a lot better now that I'm back in denial. That is the cartoon of my life. I'm the queen of denial.
That is the Pat cartoon. We might have to put that cartoon on the web.
We already talked about Jesus in the classroom. This is an example of a cartoon that I don't get. There's two Eskimos walking, and one says to the other, when we first started seeing each other, we would always use the same word for snow. I don't get it.
Interesting. See, that's the thing about some of these cartoons. They're so intellectual.
Is that intellectual? I don't think that's funny.
Maybe it's just not funny.
This one's average funny, I think. Two men sitting at a bar, both kind of balding, and one says to the other, I'm hoping that someday I might be reunited with my biological hair. It still made me laugh, even though I thought it was
silly,
marginally
but funny.
Funny.
Yeah.
And I do often like to look at the books that they review, and here's one of the books they're reviewing this week, which, you know, I think I'm going to run out and get this one.
Yeah?
The Great Mortality, An Intimate History of the Black Death, the Most Devastating Plague of All Time.
Oh, that sounds like a jolly good read, like maybe a good summer read.
Read it on the beach.
Hanging out by the pool, yeah.
Exactly. All right, and the final cartoon, this one I thought was funny. It's got three vignettes to it. It shows a man at work, and you can see that he's dreaming about golf.
Okay.
And then the second vignette is the same man. He's golfing, and he's dreaming about sex. And the final vignette, he's in bed fooling around with his wife, and he's dreaming about work. I don't know.
The last one is a little bit hard to believe.
It is kind of hard to believe.
But anyway. I often dream about work.
Are they nightmares?
I was wondering what you were going to say to that.
Do you dream more about work or golf or sex?
Well, definitely not golf. I'm not a golfer.
I knew that.
I dream about podcasting and sex.
And do you think you dream more about podcasting or more about sex?
I don't know. I have to go through an analysis.
Do you want to be like George and combine two of those favorites and maybe have sex while you're podcasting?
I do. That's been a dream of mine.
course,
it would get the ratings, too.
We, of course, couldn't have sex in here because
there's no room.
There's no room.
How could we do it?
We'd
be banging against the mics and the stands and...
And
these are expensive mics. I don't
exactly,
want to banging
see?
Against these mics.
That's
I mean,
all you would be
thinking
about.
Sensitive.
Well, the other thing, and I erred when I said I was at
you
the
erred.
End. I erred. The final thing that is usually pretty funny in the New Yorker is the back page, and what they have here is they're saying Einstein's 75th birthday occurred on March 14th, 1954. And they've got a picture of Einstein and a bird, and they're talking about, you know, Einstein is getting up there making some jokes. So
yeah.
I thought some of the jokes were pretty funny. So here's one. You think you have it bad? My mother won't let me bring my girlfriend home for Thanksgiving. You know why? she says, it's all relatives. I love that. And the next
it's
one
all
is,
relatives.
Okay, the other day I drive into the city. If the universe is so damn infinite, why can't I find a parking space? And then,
that's funny.
Then the last one is, hello, I just flew in from another solar system, and boy, my arms are younger than by an imperceptible amount. So anyway, it's great to be here. It's great to be here in this space-time tonight.
That's funny.
It's funny. Science jokes are funny.
Science jokes are funny.
Actually, science people are funny, too.
I'll bet some people don't think science jokes are funny.
I think science jokes are funny. Well, I also have another minor inconvenience occurring on my body.
What's that?
Today. I don't know if you noticed. Look at this bruise. Check this bruise out.
I did notice that. It looked like an FB.
Oh, no, it's not that.
Well, I figured.
I wish it were. This one is. What do you think of this one? Just kidding. No, I don't know how I got that bruise. I think I potentially walked into the... You know how I have that leather easy chair in my...
Right.
I think I ran into that because that's not the first time I've had a bruise like this. So one of the things I discovered on the internet is... You know, if you want to see pictures of bruises, you can see pictures of bruises. Just go to Google and say, show pictures bruises. And when I did that, I found this website that I don't know that much about, but I've become a little bit more exposed to, and I'm sure you probably know about it. Okay, Flickr?
F-L-I-C-K-R? Flickr, yeah. It's where everybody can share their pictures and tag them.
Okay.
The concept is sort of, quote, new because you can go in and tag the pictures any which way you can, and then once they're tagged, people that aren't in your family or immediate acquaintances can find those pictures under your tagged topic.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of an interesting concept of sharing pictures.
Well, you know.
It's all the rage in the internet world.
It is. I thought it was kind of cool. I want a Flickr account.
I think they're free. You should get one.
I think it seems a little bit like the
one of those photo sites.
No, it's like the photo equivalent of Delicious.
Oh, okay.
Delicious accounts. Because in Delicious, it seems like you make an account and then you can say, these are things I'm looking at.
I think that's exactly right. I haven't investigated Delicious too much, but I think the idea is that it's a self-tagging kind of thing that you can tag your content and hook up with other people, although I'm probably not stating it exactly correctly because I haven't investigated it too much.
And there's also, I think, a website that's called showmeyourwound.com.
That's funny.
I was afraid of going to it at first because I thought that when you went there that you would just start seeing, you know, gross pictures of wounds.
Right.
But it's kind of interesting because you go there and then you can, I can't remember because this is a few days ago, it was like leg wounds or whatever, and then you can click on it. And then what you'll do is you'll sort of see a little story about the wound.
Oh, that's cool.
And then they'll show you the pictures.
Very cool.
Well, you know, I had knee surgery.
Do right.
Remember that one time?
Yeah.
And when I had the knee surgery, I wanted to be awake during it. I wanted to watch it. And I could tell they did not want me to be watching it.
No.
They were doing everything possible to convince me not to watch.
Yeah. They don't want anybody freaking out on them. It makes sense.
Well, you know, they eventually told me, don't worry, here's what we'll do. We'll videotape it, and we'll send you the videotape. So I was all excited. And I asked them at the end, you know, where's my videotape? And they were, oh, here it is. Actually, I can't remember. Either they gave it to me and it was blank, because this happened in 97. They either gave it to me and it was blank, or they told me, oh, yeah, bad news. The videotaping machine didn't work. I think they really just didn't want me to see it in the event that something bad happened.
Right.
And I would have, you know, better malpractice fodder against them.
It probably all comes down to some sort of protecting of legal action. I mean,
you know, I guess I probably wanted to see it because I'm a little bit of a biology nerd to begin with.
Right.
But I had seen a show on TV once. I don't know. I don't think they have it anymore. It was on the PBS channels where they actually had surgeries ongoing, and they would show them. And I remember watching a hip replacement, and I think it was, at that time I only had a black and white TV, so it wasn't bad. It was really cool. When they do hip replacements or a lot of that stuff, Jeff, they're using saws and drills and all kinds of stuff that you would think that they would just use on cars.
Right.
It was cool. So it was so incredibly cool to me that I just wanted to see my ACL surgery.
Don't they have any cable stations that show surgeries? I don't know why I think that, but
they probably
I'm not
do,
that into it. It sounds like something you'd enjoy.
As you know, I don't have cable.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But by the way, speaking of which, I just found a statistic last week where for the first time ever, cable television garnered more audience than non-cable. That's the first time it ever happened. So we're seeing a true crisscross, a true paradigm shift, which is kind of interesting.
Oh,
you better get with the paradigm.
I like paradigms. I want to be with the paradigm.
We're in a paradigm shift, and it's happening.
I want to be the ball with the paradigm.
Be the ball. I spent some time this week listening to some of the couple podcasts. Uh-huh. I think I kind of said I was going to do that a little bit last week.
And what did you think?
Well, the ones I listened to were Jawbone, Croncast. What is that noise? Ice cream truck outside, maybe. Keith and the Girl. I already talked about that. Air Ferg and PK and J. I had mixed emotions. On one hand, I was kind of happy in the fact that I thought, well, you know, because we're also a couple
of goofballs,
a couple of podcasts. But on one hand, I thought, well, nobody is, you know, we're not worse than any of those people. So that's kind of cool. I don't think we're necessarily better, but we're not worse than any of those people. And those are all sort of top, you know, top 30, top 40. Couple of podcasts that made me feel good. On the bad side is, though, I sort of wanted to really like, you know, a new show, and nothing really stood out. In fact, I don't think I could tell you today which ones were which and which voices were which. But I don't want to put them down, because you know what, they're all articulate and smart people. You know what I mean?
Right.
And likable, and that makes sense, because who else would podcast? If you're going to podcast, you probably like to talk and, you know, discuss issues. So they were all had their engaging moments, and every one of them had chuckle points for me. Mm-hmm. There are some points along the lines where I would chuckle, you know.
Well, you know, I think I can tell the difference between some of them. Sometimes you know, I'm like, is that Shelley with blah, 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 or whatever?
Yeah.
But if I stop and really think about it, as opposed to just, you know, amble through my life completely in denial, as I always do, I can remember who is who. But, you know, I guess one of my favorites is PK and Jay. And I think part of it is because they're younger.
Yeah, yeah.
They seem funny. And I like them.
Yeah, yeah. They also, Paul does a little bit more of the produce bits. And I think I like that, too. I appreciate what goes into that, because I know we've done a couple of them. And, you know, it takes some time and some commitment to do it. So, yeah, no, I can see that. They might be a little bit of a notch ahead. And I think what happened to me this week is that I just overloaded on a couple of podcasts.
Uh-huh.
So they sort of started running into each other. Yeah. But they all had their plus aspects of it. Man, they get another
aircraft
overhead. We must be on a flight path this morning. It's not usually this bad. Oh, well. Anyways, it's...
You sound geek, you.
Huh?
You sound geek, you.
Well, you can hear the... I mean,
yes,
our audience...
I didn't even notice it. They
our audience are going to be in the car, and they're going to go out. They're going to be looking outside and like, wow, where's the airplane? We never get airplanes out here in rural Kansas.
That is so funny that you say that, because when I listen to Viva Podcast, you know, they start out, and then at one point when she says, we're broadcasting from the desert in New Mexico,
right,
they have some funny tone. And then when I'm driving and I listen to it, I start looking around. I'm like, damn it! I almost want to call them up and say... Pretty please, Lisa and Greg, don't do that anymore. It gets me every time. But now, you know, I've listened to enough shows that I'm expecting it. So,
that's,
you know,
funny.
It's
well,
my Pavlovian response.
I'm glad you mentioned Viva Podcast, because, of course, we like to mention them every show, it seems like. No, but I did want to say, after this week of diving in, I wanted my comfort food. I wanted to go back to Viva Podcast, Adam Curry and Chris Rockwell. I wanted my comfort food. I missed them. So I thought that was kind of funny.
You're adorable.
I know.
Hey, well, you know what I think we should talk about is, you know, something about Dallas.
Is it that time?
I think it's that time.
Woohoo! I promised myself I wouldn't go that. Woohoo! Now, that's girly. There's Jeff being a girl.
No, that's
there's
not
a feminine
girly.
Side.
That's just freaky.
It's a freaky. Yeah, freaky.
You're
it's dangerous.
Starting to confuse
it's dangerously
me.
Freaky. Oh, do you got a Dallas Minute for us?
Well, I do. A couple of weeks ago, I think, maybe just two, you and I went to go get a hamburger, and we stumbled, I think quite luckily, onto a place called the Burger House.
Oh, good.
Wasn't
good
that
choice.
Good?
I loved it. I don't think I told you this, Pat. Amy came over the next day.
Yeah.
Okay, we had dinner, I think, right? Yeah, we had dinner. Amy came over the next day, and we had lunch. You know where we went?
Burger House.
It was my two meals in a row. I loved it so much.
Well, I thought the burger was really good, and the fries were great, too.
Yeah, they were.
They had that kind of special seasoning. Which
I could have done without that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they were really nice, and they were really friendly. But I've eaten at a couple of other hamburger places in Dallas
that are
really good, too, that I just wanted to mention briefly. And these are both on Lemon. One is called The Prince.
I've never heard of that one.
And the other one is called Cactus Jack.
I've heard of Cactus Jack. I've never been.
Yes. They are, they're good, greasy hamburgers that yummy. Although I think the best fries were at the Burger House.
Really?
Anyway, so there's lots of really good places in Dallas to get hamburgers. And if you're looking for a place that you've never been to before, the Burger House should be one of your first stops.
All right. And you know what about the fries? For like 99 cents, you get this huge, big boat of fries. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's funny when you think of McDonald's and Burger King is selling hamburgers. They're not really the same food category.
No, they're
not. And they almost shouldn't be called hamburgers. They should almost be called fast food patties or something different. It's just startling the difference. Well, my Dallas Minute has to do with my house. I was awake. I was up till 4:30 in the morning. This is last weekend because I had I think they're possums in my underneath the house in Texas. Just some of you probably don't know this. We rarely have basements. The ground here in North Texas is really strange in that it goes up and down throughout the seasons a little bit more than the rest of the country. So they don't build
clay.
Because of the clay, yeah, because of the clay content. That's exactly right. So they don't they tend not to build basements, so we have crawl spaces. Anyway, these critters get in there. I think I've got a possum because I think I saw him about a month ago.
Did he give you his possum card?
No, he didn't. But anyways, I was up. It was a horrible weekend because I never really got caught up on sleep. But at any rate, what was...
so lame. I'm sorry.
Why was that lame? Not getting caught up on sleep?
I don't think you can get caught up in sleep.
Yeah, that's a dumb concept, isn't it? You don't really get caught up. But for some reason, I felt like jet lagged the whole weekend. Let's put it that way. At any rate, so I went out and stuffed up some holes that I thought he was coming in, and I investigated some other solutions, and I went to the hardware store, and they had, fox urine. Fox urine is a big thing.
Mm.
And I talked to my neighbor, because these are not uncommon in Dallas. Talked to my neighbor, and he had in one of his previous homes in Dallas, he said they used the fox urine quite a bit, and what they would do is they just put it in little containers and cotton balls, so it sticks, you want the odor to stick around a while, you don't want to just pour it on the ground.
Yeah.
And he said it worked very well. So anyway,
you put it on and you deposit the cotton balls around your house.
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. You can put them in. He did film canisters with a little hole in them.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and you put them sort of on the outside of the perimeter. I haven't done that yet because I haven't heard them since I stuffed up the holes myself, but I'm prepared. But I was talking to my mom about this, and she said, well, because they still could be raccoons. And I said, well, because foxes are the natural predator of raccoons and possums. And she says, well, you know what else is a natural predator, Jeff? And I go, well, I don't know. What?
Jell-O?
No, humans.
Oh. Okay.
So I said, well, yeah, that's kind of what I said. Uh-huh. So what does that mean? Well, why do you have to get fox urine?
Oh, no. She thought you should pee around the house.
I mean, she was laughing when she said it, but then she thought about it. She was like, well, I think your father and I, they rent a couple houses. They have a bunch of houses in the neighborhood that they rent, and they've got a raccoon problem, too. And they thought, well, we might have to try this. And
did they get drunk and then pee around the house? Because that would be the best way to do it.
I don't think they're going to go out and whip it out and pee against the side of the house. I think it's going to be more like pee in a bottle and, I think they're going to try it, though. I think it'll be funny.
I can see your mom and dad drinking down a couple martinis and then walking around.
And peeing on the house. I told mom, I said, this is so funny. I was just cracking up. I told her I was going to talk about this in a podcast, and she said, oh, you better not.
I want them to actually do a field trip and do it in live.
We need, what do they call those? Those sound seeing. We need a sound seeing tour of being on the house to keep the raccoons and the possums away. Anyway, that's my Dallas Minute.
You know what I used to sing when I lived in New Mexico that still cracks me up when I think about it, and I just thought about it now? Roadrunners.
Oh.
Beep, beep.
That was me, not a sound effect.
I mean, you know, you think about it. We all grew up watching the Roadrunner and Coyote, and, like, you don't get a notion that a Roadrunner is a real animal. They really are animals.
Really?
And you used to see them running around in New Mexico.
Wow.
I bet Lisa and Greg could confirm that.
Yeah, we'll have to get a hold of them. Well, Pat, I think that's about the show. I think that's all the time. We're really running out of time here.
All righty, well, it's been fun.
It has been fun. Another issue number 7 wrapped up.
You know what I want to do?
What do you want to do?
I want to go to Guitar Center.
We're going to go to Guitar Center. All right, y'all. We are out of here. So, see how I said y'all? That's part of my Dallas Minute.
Y'all.
Don't forget, please vote for us at Podcast Alley if you're so inclined, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.